Now we're going to go to the Word, a brief word from Psalm 85. If you don't mind, let's stand one more time. Psalm 85, 6. And here's the plea of the psalmist as he talks about spiritual renewal, because he's been through some dry places. He's been on the run. He understands what it means to be under threat, and he understands what it means to have a bounty on his head, and he understands that life doesn't always work the way we want it to, and he understands that sometimes we can get frustrated and upset and wonder if God is even paying attention to us. In fact, one of the psalmists wrote that he questioned whether God was still there or still caring about him. And in that expression, he was in a very deep hole in terms of his emotions, and he was wondering where God had gone. And we have the promise that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? And he finally woke up one day again to that realization that God was for him, even though he didn't feel his presence at the moment. He understood God was with him. So the psalmist is saying something similar here. Won't you give us fresh life and let your people be glad because of you? They'd been under siege from the Philistines and other entities that would come and strip them of their bounty and their blessings, take their weapons away from them, leave them at times homeless and without food for the fall and the winter seasons. And now they're wondering, okay, what are we going to do next? And here's the priority. We want fresh life. We don't want just food restored or harvest restored. We want a new, fresh walk with you. We know that's what led us to be overrun by the adversary, because we did not keep faith with you. We broke covenant with you, and we're paying a price for it. But Lord, would you restore us? Would you give us fresh life again? And yes, God is faithful, even when we have slips and falls, to come back and refresh us again. Amen? So, Father, your word reminds us, yes, we're living in perilous days. Yet you've promised a spiritual renewal in the middle of perilous days. So create those conditions, I pray, in our lives where we are humbled before you and repentant before you, and renewed hunger once again grows in us for your truth. Because without that, we just flounder and we can't do that any longer. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Now, I was looking with some great admiration at the reports coming out of Canada, all those truckers everywhere saying, we're done with this stuff. I think a lot of people have come to the point where they've turned the corner and decided, we're done with this crazy stuff, right? But we need to remember, though, we might be done with some of the stuff going on in the culture. What we really need more than anything else, not to be done just with the stuff in the culture, but to be done with complacency spiritually and to be renewed once again in the kingdom of God. Amen. David was hungry for renewal, and he's asking God to renew, true spiritual renewal. Because if we get these things in the wrong order and we're only seeking physical change, not spiritual change, it won't last no matter what we achieve. We've got to have spiritual change. The rest of it will all fall in place. And the Hebrew words for fresh life in my text mean true spiritual renewal, reviving that which has lost life, reviving that which has lost life. In other words, we can lose the life of God in us. It can be drained from us. When a person has fainted from exhaustion or is fatigued in running a physical race, they're out of fuel. Then comes some refreshing electrolytes and some liquid and some perhaps oxygen and an infusion of some high protein nourishment to replenish what was lost. What is true spiritual renewal? What do we need today in not only our church, but the churches throughout our culture? I've got a few observations about where we are in the body of Christ and where we are in our church. It's my personal observation concerning the passion of reaching those who are lost, winning those in our Jerusalem, not just those all over the planet and around the world like we do in our investments every month, but winning those in our own Jerusalem, those who are separated by sin from God, no matter what they call themselves. We have enjoyed very minor progress in our church because we've got a Jerusalem that's full of people who need the Lord. There needs to be a renewed infusion of the Holy Spirit's passion to reach the lost of our own community. So listen carefully, because this applies to all of us. Well, I'm not a preacher like you. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do. You don't need the anointing of Billy Graham. All you need to do is just go tell the gospel. Tell the gospel. We are not destined to be a dying church. That's not what God intended when he formed his bride. We're destined to be a dynamic, spirit-filled, spirit-led church. Read Acts 2, not just the part of the upper room, but how it all translated and how they went about life, where they listened to the teaching, they applied the teaching, they had faith in what the Word of God was saying to them, and they fellowshipped and together broke bread and together had the Lord's Supper and together expressed their faith in what God's word was teaching them about their mission and their purpose in their own Jerusalem. And they were generous people, and God began to bless them with miracles and answers to prayer. And the next thing you knew, the church added daily people being born again. That's the purpose, and that's the reason we exist. He's destined us to be spirit-led, spirit-filled. But we cannot afford to continue to be complacent. Complacency is an enemy that strikes specifically at those who have attained some success. That kills sports teams. It kills businesses. It kills people in the body of Christ, where you've achieved a level of success and you think, I can go out and do this again. I can go out and repeat this tomorrow. I can go out because I know how it works and make it happen again. And the next thing you know, a setback will awaken the team or the business or the person very quickly. Now, I can express that in the way I understood it when I played high school basketball. Our team went to the All-New England Tourney. We were the favorites to win because we were undefeated for an entire season. They had an unstoppable team. We had a center that went right to the pros out of high school. The kid was an incredible ball player. And we had a phenomenal team that, even though we had some tight games, we won every single one of them. So we go into the first round. And the attitude was, we did this all year. We can just go out here and do it again. And that complacency cost us in the very first round. And we got defeated by a team that on paper should not have been able to compete with us on the court. We couldn't put the ball in the hoop. We couldn't make passes because we got complacent. Your mind starts getting complacent and tells your body to be complacent, and the next thing you know, you start losing ground. We're not destined to be a church that's complacent. We're destined to be a spirit-led, dynamic, filled with God's presence church. It's an enemy to become complacent. You're in a church that has known spiritual life and growth in its past. That's wonderful history, the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. That's wonderful history. We've been blessed people. We have fixed assets that are amazing. We have ministry that strives for excellence. Those are wonderful things to talk about. We strive to improve and to do better every week, every month, and annually, but not at the cost of losing who we are. And that is a spirit-filled church. And in order to fly like an airplane, we need to have two wings, the practical and the spiritual. Because if you don't have both in the body of Christ, the plane will lose altitude and crash. The culture of COVID, in addition to other complacencies that we've adopted, have moved us away from our spiritual wing. We've become a little more practical than we have spiritual. And when one wing gets out of proportion, the plane begins to lose its speed and its altitude. Fear has paralyzed many in the church that we're living in today. I have a huge burden that goes beyond the things that I'm talking about right now. While we see opportunity to evangelize, yet I also see spiritual renewal as a necessity among many people in the body of Christ. There are differences between reaching our community and spiritual renewal. They're not necessarily the same. Because someone can say, well, we saw 10 people receive Jesus last Sunday in our church. We're truly having a revival. That's not necessarily accurate. Spiritual renewal is what happens to the saints. Evangelism is what happens to sinners. So what I've observed is there are places where sinners are being reached. Thank God, that's our mission, that's our purpose, and we should be, as a Spirit-filled church, on the front lines of bringing people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's power in the church was not given for just fun. It was given to help us evangelize and share the gospel in our own community. So there are churches, unfortunately, that instead of evangelizing, do other things to get people in their church. And they don't really desire unity in the greater body of Christ when they do that. They're just using their influence to gather people to themselves out of other places. That's a symptom, not of evangelism or even spiritual renewal. It's a symptom of spiritual disease in the body of Christ. We need to rid ourselves of anything that diminishes who we are and what our purpose is. What I'm observing is this: there's not enough zoe in the Greek, spiritual life, happening to the saints. There's a difference between an evangelist and a spiritual renewal agent. An evangelist helps the church to know their mission and to win the lost. A spiritual renewal agent comes in, and his ministry is to relight the zeal, reignite it, the fire and the passion in the saints of God for the Lord. So what I'm saying is the formula for true church growth is spiritual renewal, evangelism. If we get spiritually renewed, it's an automatic that we should become carriers, messengers, ambassadors of the gospel. Evangelism is the sinner repenting. Spiritual renewal is the saint repenting. You think people in the church need to repent? Yep, better start here. It'll never start out there. How long has it been since you as a believer walked an aisle and said to the Lord, I'm here, I'm abandoning myself to you again, with tears in your eyes, saying, God, no matter where I've been or how long I've allowed myself to get in this state I'm in right now, I want more. I need more. Not just waiting for the sinner to repent and walk the aisle, but how long has it been since you made your way to the altar with tears in your eyes, repentant of complacency, repentant of allowing that old nature, which is our worst enemy of the three, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Some people, what's the devil? No, your old nature is your worst enemy, and repenting of that old nature, trying to crowd out your spiritual life. That's spiritual renewal, when we push the old nature where he belongs and deal with him like Paul said he had to deal with him every single day, putting it to death. Evangelism is a sinner receiving Jesus as Savior. That's the mission of the church. Spiritual renewal is a saint receiving an infusion of the power of the Holy Spirit, fresh life, like David is calling for, fresh anointing. Too many Christians are still celebrating what happened years ago in their lives. Yet there's no renewal of the Holy Spirit presently in their lives. Anyone who knows the Holy Spirit desires more of the Holy Spirit. more of his love and his direction and his wisdom and revelation that he gives you of God's word. When you really know him, you want more from him and through him. Something has stagnated in our lives if we don't desire more. Evangelism is the lost being convicted and changed. Spiritual renewal is the saint being convicted and changed. Well, they're the ones that need to change. No, we're the ones that need to lead change, because God has called us to an ever-growing, developing relationship of change in our walk with him. Some saints sit back and, you know, they'll judge the new convert when that new person comes to know the Lord. You know, they need to stop doing that, or they need a haircut, or they need to dress a little more appropriately when they come to church. Let me say to some who've been around a while in the church, when's the last time you added something to your own conviction list? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to still convict you of some things that need to get changed? Or do you think you're okay the way you are? You will be like the team I played on that day, that night, in Boston, Massachusetts, and walk away with your head hanging, knowing we should have won this game. And we lost it. And boy, did our coach beat basics back into us again. And go through the motions again. And don't take for granted again that you think you can do this because you have done it before, right? When you add it to your own conviction list. The last time you started giving something up in order to draw closer to Jesus, because he's had his finger on that, and you've just crusted it over so long you don't even remember what it was. But now he's reminding you, you know, I've been trying to talk to you about this for a long time. And it's time you put that aside so you can have fuller revelation of me, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his sufferings, which means we crucify that old nature, right? That spiritual renewal, that's what it's called, spiritual renewal. And if there ever was a day in America when the church generally, and ours specifically, needed spiritual renewal, it's today. So I'm going to lay out a case today as to why I believe we need spiritual renewal in our church. When we can have full seats but empty altars, we need spiritual renewal. When the majority of the congregation are spectators and the minority are worshipers, we need spiritual renewal. When praise and worship is happening and the majority just watch the people on the platform do the worship, the minority then are the worshipers, and that church needs spiritual renewal. Because when a soul has been given new life, it's revived from being nearly extinguished, and it searches for expression because of the inner working of the Holy Spirit, and it looks for an outlet for that, and it always comes out expressed through worship, because now I want to thank him and praise him because he checked me and reminded me. And, you know, our coach was not easy on us. He was tough on us. He made us get there sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning before school began and worked us out and pressured us. And I was grateful for that because it brought the best to the surface out of each of us. And it caused us to be grateful and thankful. And we should be thanking God when he convicts us and challenges us and says to us, let's stop being complacent and get on to the next place that I have for you. You may not worship like I worship. You may not get as excited as I do. I'm a preacher. You may like teaching instead of preaching. The only difference between the preaching and the teaching is a preacher proclaims it, and I like to proclaim it. We're not talking about style. If you love the Lord, God doesn't say, well, assemblies of God people are people of praise. Baptists are not. Now, praise is not a denominational thing. It has nothing to do with the title or the tag we belong to. It's a Bible thing. It's for believers. When our hearts are spiritually renewed, there ought to be some praise coming up out of our mouths. because out of here flow rivers of living water. The church needs spiritual renewal when guests compliment and saints complain. That calls for fresh life. We can have people born again. We can have heaven on earth in a Sunday night service. Yet on the way out, someone says, you know, I just want to mention that I don't like the music. It's too loud. Well, here's the bottom line. Did people experience Jesus? That's what it's all about. Were people blessed? Were people uplifted? Were people brought closer to the Lord? When you've got guests who are blessed and say, man, I wish I had a church to go to like that, then we should be thankful for what we have here at Calvary Christian Center. But then you have saints complaining. But when guests are blessed and saints are depressed, then the church needs spiritual renewal. So we got this email after last Sunday night service, which was absolutely phenomenal in the presence of God, and praising God and worshiping. And a guest was here and said, I'd like to just share a few comments. We had the privilege of attending your night of worship and thoroughly enjoyed the scripture readings, prayers of the worshipers, and anointed songs. We also enjoyed talking to Pastor Michael and his wife at the service. Your church is blessed with God's chosen, called, and anointed servants of the Most High. Have a blessed and wonderful day. What we can easily take for granted, others are very grateful to experience. If you believe that, you ought to be thanking God right now for what God's done for each of you. Amen. Amen. And that's why we need to always keep perspective and what God's trying to help us to achieve and to do. Now watch this. Look at your neighbor. See if your neighbor is impressed by the presence of God or looks depressed. They might need some spiritual CPR. The church in Acts 6 was multiplying now in size. In Acts 2, they added to the church every day. By Acts 6 now, the number of followers of Jesus, disciples, I like that term. We need it more in our church. People who are learners and continuing to grow. The number of disciples multiplied in Acts 6. So I'll read it to you. Now, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose what? A complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. The danger when the church begins to get its footing and its traction, there's always an opportunity for the enemy to start trouble and disruption. When a church grows, there is stretching. I said they're stretching. And you don't always, are not always able to immediately address every new stretch mark. And you have to take them one at a time and prioritize them so you can meet the need. Well, for some, it wasn't being done fast enough for them. So some are saying, you know, we don't like what's happening here because we're not being treated right and we're being prejudice against us because we're not Jews and the others are getting favored and we're not. I've had people say, I'm leaving, I'm going back to my old, smaller church where we all knew each other. I hope that's not your aspiration, that we just all know each other. That's not possible in the wider body of Christ. That's not realistic. There's a group you should know. And that's why small groups are so important and connect groups are so important. There's a group of people, yes, you need to know. And you need to have fellowship with and be tight with. And they're friends and supporters of yours. And likewise for you toward them. But no, you can't know everybody in the church. If you want to maintain that mentality, you can't grow. Because there's a certain point beyond which you will never be able to know everybody when the church is reaching new people and they're coming into the kingdom. So listen to the story when Jesus is dealing with this topic and he gives it in parable form. And he says, Matthew chapter 20, when the first came, in other words, These are the first people who got employed in this parable, and now they're coming back at the end of their work schedule. And when the first came, when they came to get paid, because we've worked the whole day, they supposed they would get more. But each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the owner of the estate. And then he goes on to give them the good reasons why everybody gets equal treatment in the kingdom of God, right? And here's an observation. The ones in this passage who've been there the longest were the ones who did the murmuring. That's exactly right. You look at the passage, that's exactly the way it happened. Spiritual renewal is not just sinners repenting and catching fire. Spiritual renewal is when the saints get renewed and they start saying, this is the greatest thing to be in the presence of God. I love being with God's people in the presence of God, in the house of the Lord. When the saints who've been there the longest begin to respond like this, then you know spiritual renewal is happening, right? I'm believing God for growth. Yes, we need growth. We need new people being born into the kingdom. We need new babies crying in our spiritual nursery here. When our sheep are reproducing and then new people are getting plugged into the body, but when it's all over, are the saints any different? Did they jump on the wagon and the momentum of the Holy Spirit? And we experienced that in Chicago when we were pastoring, and we had this influx of young adults that were getting saved daily, literally daily, and coming. They couldn't wait for the next service and got terribly upset when I stopped teaching or preaching because they wanted more. And, I mean, they were just pulling it out of you. Now, we saw some who'd been there forever and a day catch up with that and go, wow, God's at work. And got spiritually renewed. We also saw some that, well, I don't like the way they look. I don't know. They come in here and they think they own the place. And all kinds of attitudes coming out of the grumbling saints who've been there the longest. When we have more to praise God about and we do it less, we need spiritual renewal. I think I'm going to preach here for just a second, okay? You're driving better vehicles than you've ever driven. You're living in a nicer home than you've ever had. You're wearing better clothes than you've ever worn. You're more blessed than you've ever been. Can you explain to me why there's less praise and enthusiasm and passion? Worship and thanksgiving are less. Willingness to connect to others and do something to enhance the work of God at Calvary is less instead of more. Can anyone explain that phenomena other than complacency? The more God blesses us, the more we ought to be grateful and productive for Him, not less. More is expected of us. It should be more and more and more and more. We have more to praise God for than we've ever had. Say that. We've got more to praise God for than we've ever had. So ask your neighbor, when are you going to do it? Can anyone here praise God because you have more to thank Him for? I refuse to be blessed more and worship less. And worship is more than Sunday singing during the worship set. It's serving in the body of Christ, using your gifts. I'm worshiping God when I'm serving the Lord and serving His people. Worship is a lifestyle. What's up with that? I'm just saying, right? I refuse to allow a newborn believer, and all that person knows is that Jesus can forgive and save and redeem them, outthank me and outserve me. I know God can heal. I know God can provide. I know He can move mountains. I've experienced it. I know He can save my family. But it seems today the more God does for us, the less people want to worship and serve Him. It's called the sin of familiarity. We've gotten too familiar with His presence, and too familiar and satisfied with his goodness. So we need spiritual renewal when God is doing more and we're doing less. Yeah. Think about that. Because that complacency will come to shock you into reality if you don't catch it before that disease spreads throughout the physical body as well as the spiritual body. If God never did one more thing for us, we're grateful as a church, we're debt-free, we don't owe a penny to anybody. Considering our beginnings, we were small. Pastor Long dedicated himself to doing the will of God. I came here with the same commitment to do the will of God. So here we are. We're blessed in continuity. Look at what the Lord has done. Said, look at what the Lord has done. We've got prime property here, and we're anxious to do what God's asked us to do. But building a building is not enough if people aren't willing to serve the Lord. It's nice to go into a new building, isn't it, and enjoy it, but we need to be servants of the Lord. We can no longer be complacent. No, I'm going to dance with the one who brought me. Thank the Lord. Amen. I have more to praise God for today than I've ever had in my life, and I'm not going to dry up like an old sunsweet prune. That's not going to happen. You ought to thank him if he's been good to you. It's not for me. It's for him. Thanksgiving for the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And here's when you know if a church needs spiritual renewal. We need spiritual renewal when people want to move further and further back in the auditorium. Whoops. There are those who just want to hang around in the courtyard, jabber-jawing while the service is in progress. Double oops. And I've served notice. I've been told our ushers and our pastors, unless someone is on official duty, responsibility, they're in service. Not here to just hang around in the courtyard having a nice conversation. Because if you had 50-yard line front row seats to this afternoon's game, or to the Super Bowl, and as the usher was taking you to these amazing seats, you said, oh no, I prefer to be way back up there with all the Monday morning quarterbacks where they're going to be, right? I love you this morning, but I'm going to tell you the truth this morning, okay? You know we need spiritual renewal. When church members start playing multiple choice with church services. I got to read this to you because I read it to my wife the other day. And she thought it was pretty cool. And I thought, well, I ought to read it to the church. You know, we've seen what's called the Great Resignation across America. Both in businesses and in careers and in pastoral leadership of churches. We've got churches open all over the district with no one to fill them because of resignations and people just moving away and walking away from responsibilities and ministries. And here's something one pastor wrote. He said, here are some reasons why I've decided to quit attending sporting events. I thought, wow, this is kind of cool. He said, because the coach never came to visit me. Every time I went, they asked me for money. The people sitting next to me weren't very friendly. The seats were very hard. The referees made decisions I didn't agree with. I was sitting with hypocrites. They only came to see what others were wearing. Some games went into overtime, and I was late getting home. The band played some songs I've never heard before, and the games are scheduled on my only day to sleep in and run errands. Bless you, yes. My parents took me to too many games when I was growing up, and since I read a book on sports, I feel I know more than the coaches anyways. I don't want to take my children because I want them to choose for themselves what they like best. Wow. If your children come to you on a Sunday morning and say, are we going to church today? That's a dead giveaway. You got a problem. You need spiritual renewal. That's an indictment against your spiritual walk with God. Your kids say, well, it's raining. Are we going to go to church? Because they know you. That's a sign that we as parents need fresh life to show our children our enthusiasm for the house of the Lord. Those children ought to know it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if the wind is blowing. We get up and we go to God's house. We go to church because we're gathering with the saints. That's our responsibility. We're going to keep our family in church come hell or high water. And if they're questioning whether you're going to church on Sunday, it's just a sign you're probably close to half backslid. We need spiritual renewal. Here's another indicator. I've heard this all my life. And those who say, God can do more with a fool on fire than a scholar on ice. I understand exactly what that means. There are some people who think the more you know the scripture, the more you study, the more education in the word that you've received, it means you acquire a stained glass voice and you become all sophisticated. And only ignorant people are demonstrative and expressive about their service and their love for the Lord. So here's the devil's worst nightmare, being a scholar on fire, a student of God's word on fire with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because if all we have is God's word, we dry up. If all we have is God's fire, we burn up. But if we put the two together, we grow up and become everything God wants us to be. I attend our conferences and being around preachers, and that can be fun in many ways. Sometimes I just want to say this. If we know more about God than anybody else, we ought to be worshiping more than anybody else. And if we have greater revelation and deeper maturity than anyone else, then it should not restrict us. It should not bind us. It should free us. Jeremiah the prophet said, your word was in me, and it was like fire shut up in my bones. See, if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. So don't tell me you know more than newborn babies know, and you're so deep. And we need to get deeper. We need to get so deep it gets into our feet and it gets into our hands and it gets into our mouths, right? Say what you want to say. If you have less joy than you used to have, you need spiritual renewal. Check yourself. Do you have less joy than you used to have? During praise and worship, sometimes you can distinguish new converts from those who've been around a long time. All you have to do is observe those worshiping. If they're all in it, they might know that they've been forgiven much. Because Jesus put it like this, he who's been forgiven much loves much. Yeah. If they're just standing, looking around, they've been in it a while. When students who've been raised on these seats and taught in our classrooms question the standards of God's word that we hold, doubt our doctrines, we need spiritual renewal. We need God to supercharge us in the next generations coming after us. We don't need more dramas, more curriculums. We've got that. We've got good stuff. It's all good. Students today are dealing with morality on a level we cannot comprehend. They're under peer pressure more than we understand. They're being constantly absorbed by friends sending them information on a continual basis on their smart devices, and our little Cool Whip services will no longer cut it any longer. If we're going to save the next generation, we need to put all of the other where it needs to be in its place. It's the other wing, the practical. But what the next generation really needs also is the wing of a hot, oily hand of anointing laid on them and the fire of God getting down in their bones. So they're filled with the fire and the passion and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, do it in our church. Do it. Holiness is not a book of guidelines. Holiness is the Holy One in us. And when the Holy One is in us, lying will not be a normal part of our lives. Drug use will not be a normal part of our lives. Partying to get hooked up will not be a normal part of our lives. Rebellion and cheating and deceiving will not be a part normally of our lives. We have to get buy-in for the next generation. Having sex when you get bored or under pressure in marriage will not be a part of our lives. If the Holy One is in you, He makes us holy. We have a holiness because the Holy One is in us. There are too many preachers preaching for us and not enough preachers preaching to us in our day. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and he was rebuilding, and as he was doing that, enemies begin to act and respond, and the enemy will react. When the power of the Holy Spirit hits Calvary Christian Center like He desires to hit us, the enemy's not going to just roll over and go, oops. No, he's going to do whatever he can to disrupt that. So there was Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, Nehemiah saying, come and let's meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. Let's negotiate. No, not going to negotiate. There is no negotiation with the adversary. Oh, no. And he promptly rejects the invitation. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince you of what we're doing in the will of the Lord. He said, I refuse to descend to Ono. We need spiritual renewal when the saints of God have an Ono response. What does that mean? Oh, no, he's calling another fast. That means I got to give up the foods I like so much and feel guilty when I cheat. Oh no, another 21-day fast. Oh no, they've added another prayer meeting to the week. Oh God, help us. Oh no, another men's or women's breakfast. Oh no, another message about serving. Oh no, please don't talk about that. Oh no, another appeal for an offering. No, when you have a spiritually renewed heart, it turns the oh no into a oh yes. Oh yes. Yes, Pastor. We had another week of fasting and prayer, and I got to beat up on the devil because I joined in fasting and prayer, and I defeated that adversary in our life. Yes, crank up the music. Let's worship the Lord. Let's have renewal. Let's seek God's presence. Yes, let's gather together and watch what God can do. Need to get your oh no turned into an oh yes. And when we have spiritual renewal in our hearts, that's exactly what happens. It's automatic. That's what comes up out of us. It's not, oh no, we've got to go to church. It's, oh yes, I can't wait. I'm excited. We're going to have another opportunity for God to show up and do something. One sign on a business said it like this. If you don't think the dead come back to life, be here at closing time. I'd like to hang that on the doors of churches. We need to reverse that trend at Calvary Christian Center. Amen? Because I've seen people in our church seated kind of bored and unemotional until they hear their pastor speak their favorite words in closing. And they wake up again, right? Where are we going to eat? Are you coming over for the ball game this afternoon? Bring some popcorn. I've got brownies. We're going to have a good time. Have you ever met people like that? Not around here. No, I'm sure there's none today, especially. The whole service, the dead in Christ. As soon as the service ends, ha! The life of the party. Let me help you here. When you're more excited after church than you are during church, when you're more excited after church than you are during church, We need spiritual renewal. Church is not just about hanging out with your friends or going out to eat or making a business deal. That's part of it. The church is about Jesus. And when we fall in love with Jesus, it's always a thrill to be in the presence of Jesus. Sunday service ought to be a highlight of our week because we've been out planting seed and watching it ripen and bringing a harvest out of that seed into the kingdom of God. Then we show up on Sunday having invited those that we've helped lead to the Lord to join us, and we come and we celebrate the great victories God's given us during the week. Nothing is better than being in God's presence. Nothing. And I've been to just about every kind of sport you can call. I've been to heavyweight championship bouts. I've been to championship football, baseball games. I've been to the hockey games where the fights are more intriguing than the actual game they're playing on the ice. I've been to all those kinds of things. And while all those things have some excitement levels and they stir your emotions, there's nothing ever comes close than the presence of the Lord. Nothing. Not a ball game, not a concert, not a new video game, not a new phone. Nothing is greater than being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need spiritual renewal. And being renewed, Paul said, in the spirit of your mind. Pastor, would you just calm down a little? No. But I'm almost through, for those of you that like that sentence. Now I'm going to share a verse with you and make anyone who has yet to be offended, this is an equal opportunity message for you, okay? I'm not going to leave you out. Do you know when the glory of God filled the temple? When something happened. I'll read it to you from Isaiah. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke, which means the presence of God filled the entire throne room of God. The foundations, in a more literal translation, in part of the Hebrew, the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And here's what some Christians do when they become mature Christians. Not biblically definition, but because they've been around, mature. They get used to sitting back, watching others coming to the altar, broken and crying. And they think, because I've been born again now so long, I can just kind of kick back and just enjoy the ride. You know what the passage is saying? When the foundations... The posts and foundations, they represent what holds the church up. Foundations. The people who hold the church up. The posts represent those who've been around. They were there from the beginning. They're the ones sunk down deep into the bedrock. They represent those who help lay the foundation and hold the church up. The posts started moving. Foundations begin to shake. Not sitting there saying, this is so sweet, good service. Good little sermon, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. When the posts start moving, who are the posts? The posts are the pastors and their wives and their children. You are posts. Thank the Lord. When was the last time pastors and their wives were moved greatly by the power of the Holy Spirit? The posts are board members and their spouses. The posts are worship team members and ushers and greeters and teachers and connect group leaders who've been around long enough to be able to disciple others. When was the last time you got moving instead of just going along for the ride? That there was a moving first in us of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I want it for the next generation, but it's going to have to start in us, then something happens. God uses that moving happening in us, and he says, now, here comes my glory, and here comes my power, and it will affect the foundations and the posts being moved by my presence. There's a unique challenge in the body of Christ. The challenge is not to just get new people on fire for God. The challenge is to keep the saints who've been around a long time from growing cold and to staying on fire. The challenge is not to get new converts to praise God. The challenge is to get the saints who've been in this for years continually from their hearts with passion and renewed zeal, worshiping the Lord with a hunger and a desperation. We've got to have God once again in our hearts. Amen? So what needs to happen? Everybody needs to walk into a service one more time like you've never met God's presence before and never sensed the Holy Spirit in your past, but are so desperate for his presence you can't wait to get to your place to embrace the presence of God with the rest of his people. Hence, Jesus says this, I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. In love with him. To walk into a service and where's the master? Where's his presence? I have to have him. I need him more now than I've ever needed him in my life. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm just kind of getting up in age now. And I'm not into that worship stuff anymore. And I have you a passage, too. I've got everybody covered here today. All the way to the senior saints in this room. I'm going to preach to you now. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Till his last breath, he was a worshiper. Even when he needed a staff to lean on, he was still blessing the next generation by showing them, this is how Papa worships God. This is how your grandfather honors the presence of the Lord. This is what you need in your life. And I'm going to lay hands on you so you have what I have. He said, I used to do a dance for the Lord. Now I've got arthritis. I've had a hip replaced. But I will lean on my staff. I can't do it like I used to. But bless God, I'm going to still call on him and love him with every breath I still have. Saints, from our hearts, we don't need to worship God less. We need to worship him more. Come on, foundations, move. Come on, posts, move. That's what God wants from all of us. Because what we hold in our hands is our future and the generations coming after us. It's not about my comfort. It's about what God wants to do in our community through Calvary Christian Center. And everyone who's been a Christian for 10 years or more, put your hand up. Everyone who's been a Christian for 10 years or more, lots of hands going up, and I'll hold them up. And anyone who has not raised your hand, reach your hand toward the one nearest you with their hands up and say, Lord, Lord, these people are posts. They're foundations. And pray for them right now in the name of Jesus. If somebody's got their hand up, they've been around the Lord 10 years or more, right? Get your hand up. And around those around you, just pray for them right now. Come on. Say, Lord, move these who've been Christians for 10 years or more. Bless them. There's our spiritual renewal. Lord, if they get moving, if they get passionate, if they're on fire, if they love Jesus once again like they did when they first saw the light, if they worship him once again with all their hearts and they have tears flowing out of their eyes, and they, even when they're in their car all by themselves and tears are popping out of their eyes worshiping you, it's just them and Jesus. Lord, let that happen in every person who's known you 10 years or more. Renew everybody in the body of Christ in our church. Thank you, Jesus. We should sing that song when we sang it earlier, thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. That ought to get down into your toes, which you're thanking God for. Do you remember where you were when he found you? Do you remember what you were when he found you? Do you remember how messed up you were when he found you? And be thankful for him. Amen? Come on, foundations. Our children are waiting on this. They're waiting on this end of days restoration. If that doesn't happen for the next generation, our country is in such serious trouble and difficulty. A newscaster posted something late last night and on Twitter. I guess I'm kind of like Trump. I tweet once in a while. And they were talking about what's wrong with our country. And why are we here in this situation that we're in right now? And how did we get this far? And I was looking at that. Let's see if I can pull that tweet up for you. In response, I got a bunch of responses on it. I said, we have lost our tether to the biblical truths that God handed us as a nation, and we're adrift. That's how we got where we are. And if we don't reattach ourselves to the absolute truths of God's word once again, then we're going to crash on the rocks of what we see as right in our own eyes. And this nation will be no longer what it once was. Man, I thought, I'm going to get... No, I got a lot of... So people are starting to wake up in America, folks. Right? But we need to be spiritually awakened most of all. Our children are waiting and needing last day restoration. Our community and nation is waiting for the movement of the foundations of who we are, rocking in the presence of the Lord. The new convert praises God because they are grateful for forgiveness and restoration, but they don't know him like we do. They haven't walked with him in the valleys and come up out of the other side of that valley saying, great is your faithfulness. We know that. We should be expressing that and implanting that wisdom and knowledge into the next generation. Amen? So why don't you stand with me as we close and thank God for his faithfulness for a few moments. Praise the Lord. Great is your faithfulness. What an awesome God you are. We bless you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, may your wind flow into our hearts and lives, into the temple we represent. Temple of the Holy Spirit, and rock us to our foundations, and rock us and move us once again, and shake us. May we be awakened. It's high time we awaken, Paul said, out of our sleep and out of our complacency, and once again be about the business of God's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Eyes closed for just a couple more seconds. Most important thing ever done in a service is this moment. The only way we're restored to God in relationship is through the blood of his son, Jesus. I can't fix my mess. You can't either. Can't buy your way out. Not enough good stuff you can sign up to do that's going to balance that scale. We stand guilty because our sins make us guilty. Well, how do I ever remedy that? I don't even know. Could God forgive me for what I've done? Yes. Not can he? He will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He doesn't want you to perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now he's reaching to you for one reason, not to condemn you, but to forgive you. And the moment you ask him to forgive you, he gives you new life, a new spirit, a new start. So with eyes closed, if that's you and you need him and you need his forgiveness, lift your hand. Say, Lord, I'm ready today to make a new beginning. Just hold it up high as you can. I want to see it. Thank you, Jesus. Right back up that aisle. There's a person with his hand up. That person needs to be prayed for. Be to your right. Just hold it up until pastor gets to you. Say, let him pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Lift your hand. Anybody else? Just lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I bless you. I thank you. If you're at home and you need to make this decision and make a clean start, this is your moment. This is your time. Let's pray together these words. Say, Father, I need forgiveness. I can't fix what I've done. But I'm truly sorry. I messed up. And I want to change. I don't want to keep living like that. Wash my heart. Your blood covers my sins. You took my place and received my earned punishment. And today, I'm being set free. Prison cannot hold me. Hell will not have me. I'm heading for heaven. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, please reach out to one of our pastors immediately and let him pray for you or she. Or if you're at home on a screen somewhere, would you just immediately email us or call our number and connect, because we'd like to send something to you that will help you, that will grow and develop your walk with the Lord, because you're a new baby and you need others to help you when you're a new baby. I don't care how chronologically old you are. When you're born again, you are a new creation. Beginning of new beginning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just worship him for a moment. Pastor Michael, lead us. Thank you. And let's bless the name of the Lord here today. Amen. Thank you, Lord.